Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. If the intent of SB 1, the election reform bill, if the intent was to make voting more difficult in Texas, well, then it's working because that's what's happening. There are reports of mass rejections of applications for mail-in ballots and hang-ups with county election administrators not being able to easily communicate with the public about these problems because of SB 1. To help the public understand this new law and how to help them deal with these obstacles so they can vote, we're joined by Grace Shemaine, president of the League of Women Voters of Texas, and also Annie Benefield, president of the League of Women Voters of Houston. Welcome, both of y'all.
Welcome. We're happy to be here.
So, Grace.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah. So, Grace, what about all these rejections of the applications for mail-in ballots? Explain to me what is happening with that.
Well, the law that was passed went into effect, and everybody who applies to vote by mail has to fill out the new application to vote by mail. And that application has a voter ID section in it. That voter ID that is provided, like maybe your driver's license or your personal ID number, and if you don't have one of those, a Social Security number, that number has to be the same number or is associated with your voter registration. Well, nobody remembers what their voter what number they provided when they registered to vote, even if they did provide a number when they registered to vote, because many of these voters are much or older, and those numbers have to match up. And that is where we're finding most of the issue. Either they're not providing those numbers, or those numbers do not match up with the voter registration of that voter.
So this is causing a lot of rejections of these applications for mail-in ballots. Annie Benefield, League of Women Voters of Houston, Harris County, is sort of its ground zero for this condition here. What are you hearing?
Well, pretty much it's asking for one thing, the last four digits of your Social Security number, but it also asks that if you have one of these, the state identification card or some other card, if you've not been issued that, then you lose the last four digits of your Social Security number. So that can be confusing. And as Grace previously stated, how many people who did this long time ago, and if we're talking about targeting seniors in particular, 65 plus, if they registered to vote 10 years, 15 years, or 20 years, nobody remembers what they used in specifically then. So there is no way you can conjure up that information. So apparently the rejections in Harris County are based on those kinds of things, and especially since Harris County can automatically send out then vote by mail application to people to do this. This is actually causing a delay in the process, whereas before you could automatically do this, but now you have to adhere to these new guidelines. And when you're trying to educate seniors, let me tell you, I was just trying to educate myself on the Medicare Advantage plans, and it is very daunting to process this information and be able to come up with accurate and correct information and be able to discern it and process it well enough to know how to make the right decision in terms of doing that.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or comment, have you seen this happening? Are you concerned? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Tweet at us at TPRSource. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Text us at the call-in number, 833-877-8255. And Mike is on the phones. Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is if you have previously registered to vote, do you have to re-register to vote? And here's the further furtherance of that question. My voter registration card basically said it expires at December 31st of 2021. I have yet to receive a new card. Do I have to take and re-register? Now, this is just for walking in to vote, not by mail. That's my question.
Thanks, Mike. Grace Shemaine?
You should not have to re-register to vote unless you moved, you changed your address or changed your name or moved. You should not have to re-register to vote. You probably, that voter registration card is probably in the mail. The new ones are showing up. I just got mine last week. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. You could always go to Harris County Elections website or votetexas.gov, am I registered, and check if you are, what your registration status is.
So we are having issues with voter registration right now. Well, first of all, so Grace, if you're moved, you can then update your voter registration by going to the Texas Department of Vehicles, or how do you do that?
If it's easiest, if you go to votetexas.gov and click on, currently it's called Am I Registered, and sign, log in, and you will be able to check the spot that says, did you change your address or name? And if you change something, click there, and then you will input some numbers from your driver's license and your registration card, and then you will be able to update your voter registration online. And if that's too complicated, which it is a little bit complicated, then go ahead and fill out a new voter registration card and send it to your county.
All right. So there's a lot there. So now we do have online voter registration in some form. And we do have to thank the League of Women Voters of Texas for that, because you were part of the lawsuit that pushed the state of Texas to do that, right?
Right. That is, if you update your driver's license, then you may automatically be asked if you want to update your voter registration at the same time. So that was a fantastic win. The Texas finally moved forward with that. And we also have the ability to do that without the driver's license, too. Just do it online at miregistered@votetexas.gov.
And it was in that court decision, Grace, that the judges were saying, you know, there's no compelling reason why in Texas we can't have online voter registration.
Well, there is no compelling reason. Most of the other states have this. I think we're one of 12 states that don't offer online voter registration. And that itself is so old-fashioned and archaic to have to fill out a handwritten voter registration form, that it's really causing problems with voters here in Texas.
And so Annie Benefield, president of the League of Women Voters of Houston, you have to get the paper, you know, card to and fill that out. But now we're hearing that there's a lack of paper.
That's what we were recently told by the Secretary of State's office, that there was a paper shortage, a supply chain issue with regard to printing of the voter registration cards, because we've always requested, the League of Women Voters Houston is hugely involved in the naturalization process, and we've always actually ordered the cards from the Secretary of State's office and got them in the quantity in which we requested. But this year, back in September, we asked for 16,000. In October, we got a response and say voter registration card applications would not be available at the end of October. They said they won't be available. They responded 5 weeks later and said they wouldn't be ready until mid-December. Then we subsequently followed up and then found out that we could get, at most, they say you could get a max of 2,000. We requested that max, but we only got 1,000. And then we subsequently tried to do an interesting creative thing, that each member on our voter registration team would request 2,000, and we got a response back that we would get only 50 each. So that kind of stymied that process very readily. But we weren't aware that there was a paper shortage until the Secretary of State's office told us, and then they told us that they couldn't continue to subsidize us.
They couldn't continue to subsidize you with free voter registration cards. Is that what they meant?
Yes, that we needed to go out and find a donor.
And so, Grace Chemaine, your reaction to that?
I thought it was just so rude. It's unbelievable that an organization, a nonpartisan, nonprofit, all volunteer-run organization like ours was asked to donate the money to print up our own voter registration forms. Now, I understand that the legislature probably doesn't provide them enough budget, And I understand maybe perhaps there's a paper shortage, which I haven't seen in any of the other states with their voter registration cards. And I understand there's a new voter registration application, but I don't understand why we would be told we have to print our own forms for these naturalization ceremonies. These are new citizens. They deserve to have a form.
I used to be able to go to the post office and pick up, see the stack of those voter registration cards. Is that going to be a thing of the past, Grace Germain?
I believe that the post offices have, actually Annie could best answer this because she provides this service to the Houston post offices. Don't you, Annie?
Yes, we do provide that service. But remember, if you don't remember, in 2020, we had a huge problem in terms of doing that. The post office said they had gotten a communique from higher up saying that they could not have voter registration cards in the post office. And so we actually went out and got U.S. Congress people involved, and they were issued a letter, and then they allowed us to put voter registration cards in the post office, which most, as you said, you went to the post office and used to be able to get a voter registration card. But apparently that wasn't as commonplace as one thought it would be. And in 2020, we experienced difficulties, but subsequently since then, there are 80-some post offices in the Harris County area, and we have been going and providing them with voter registration cards on a systematic basis.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. Our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're working through some of the changes of SB 1, the Texas Voter Restriction Bill, that's now in effect in Texas, how it's going to make getting being able to vote in Texas more difficult, and what you need to know in order to vote. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking to the League of Women Voters of Texas and of Houston about voting issues that we now have, difficulties, barriers that have been put in place to vote in Texas by the Texas legislature. If a question or a comment, call in. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, and we have Leah on the line. Leah, welcome to The Source. Hang on one second. Okay, you go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I'm calling in from Comal County. I'm confused. We have a new Secretary of State, handpicked by the governor. We are out of paper for new paper ballots, and they've changed the voting laws to make for supposed fraud that we didn't really have a problem with. I mean, our percentage of voter fraud is so small that it seems ridiculous. It's almost like they don't want people to vote. You know, it's to the point where I feel like they're making each obstacle more difficult. So they're taking away our constitutional right to vote. And I'm just really confused by it, because you're trying to play by the rules, get the new ballot, and then here we go, we don't have paper for it. Or you need to show up and you need to have all these IDs. I know in Comal County, when you vote early, they only have 4 voting machines. We're a county of over 100,000 people. The lines are hours long. They don't want you to vote.
Leah, thank you for that comment. We do appreciate that. Grace Germain, if Texas, the state of Texas, was very interested in getting people to vote, do you think they would make having these cards free? You know, they would be shipping on you. They would pushing them on you, Grace.
I think that's absolutely true. Thank you very much. I also think if they really wanted people to vote, that we would have online voter registration, and the Secretary of State's office would be welcoming new naturalized citizens coming into our democracy with helping organizations like ours get packets out to those new citizens. Issues happen in every county, and we are here, the League of Women Voters and Election Protection, we're here to help. So if voters run into an obstacle, let's get them help so that we could overcome some of those issues that the legislature created in the last legislative session.
Annie Benefield, president of the League of Women Voters of Houston. We're hearing that the election administrator is now prohibited from promoting or talking or trying to inform people in an active, actionable way to vote by mail. They're not allowed to talk about it. If they do, they could go to jail for a couple of years. So So does that mean that you're trying to be more aggressive in informing people of, you know, that you can vote by mail?
You know that one of the unfortunate aspects of the law taking effect in December, when we were in the midst of a runoff election process, and now the short time period in which that immediately beginning January 1st, really January 2nd, I'm assuming, that people could start requesting the vote by mail application, that there's been little or no time for implementation of education. Even the Secretary of State's website does not have not provided the kind of training and education to the county officials in terms of dealing with the vote by mail issue in a systematic way. So therefore, we usually get our information from the counties, but with all the stuff that's happening and all the rejections, and they are trying to deal with current contemporary problems and get ready for the March primary, I must admit that we haven't had a lot of time in terms of the voter education process in that way, but we are going to have a major voter registration event here in Houston on next Tuesday, and we plan to try to have some vote-by-mail applications, because we can give vote-by-mail applications out to people, and if they want to sit there and fill it out while on site, our deputy voter registrars will provide assistance to them in terms of doing that. But one of the other things that's involved, that if you provide somebody with assistance on the application, then subsequently you have to provide your identifying information. So it makes people a little bit leery, because nobody wants to be subject to any legalese involved in terms of this whole voter registration process, that it is making our deputy voter registrars very nervous about what might happen with regards to them in this process. So I am very concerned about that. But we are trying to do as much voter education. We've got things on our website trying to inform people so they could follow the process. I think the LWV Texas website actually has a video up telling people exactly step-by-step process in terms of doing it. So we are actually posting that information on our website as well here in the Houston area, so that people will have access to that information.
I have an email from Linda. She wants us to tell everyone to, when you fill out your application for a vote-by-mail ballot, to include both your driver's license and your last four digits of your Social Security. That way, you'll cover both of your bases, and it'll make it less likely that your application will be rejected. Grace Chemaine, is that good advice?
That we have not seen this in an advisory put out by the Secretary of State, yet we have heard it in an article that was recently published by Ashley Lopez from KUT. And so apparently the press secretary at first, ask me the question again. I'm terribly sorry.
You can't go wrong by including both of those digits and both of those number sets.
Can you go wrong? I don't think you can go wrong, but there has been no advisory put out that says that from the Secretary of State's office.
So the Secretary of State's office, Grace, let me ask you this, though. We're running short on time. They're supposed to be having the state-of-the-art vote tracker, ballot tracker for vote by mail, and they had a press conference. They said it's now in place, but apparently there's nothing there. It's just a blank web page type thing. I mean, have you checked that out?
I did. I don't vote by mail, so I can't put my information in. I'd love for people to put their information in and see how it works. You can find it at votetexas.gov. And if you click on Am I Registered, or go down a little bit farther to my vote by mail tracker, you will be able to find it. And let us know how it works. Send me an email. If you have a problem with your vote by mail application, call Election Protection, and they will help you out with it. If you've been denied or need help with it at all, Election Protection will help.
Annie Benefield, president of League of Women Voters of Houston, there's a new category for people who do qualify for vote by mail. We should help people understand that. What is it?
If you're scheduled to give delivery 3 weeks before the election or 3 weeks after the election, then you are okay to request an application for vote by mail. That is one of the new categories that has been added to that. So that's the only thing that's new that came into being in terms of the vote by mail application.
So that's good. People should know about that. And otherwise, if you're over 65, go ahead. Okay.
May I say one other thing?
Yeah.
Make sure that you put your telephone number and your email address. So if you need to cure information on your ballot, then the election administrators will be able to reach out to you to give you an opportunity to make sure that the information is accurate and that you can correct any deficiencies.
Now, I have heard that the election administrators are reluctant to call people because they're afraid of this solicitation, promotion, prohibition for voting by mail. So they're trying to do all of their interactions via the mail. And so I guess that depends on who your election administrator is, where you live, and how willing they are to go to jail, Annie.
Yes, that is unfortunate because elderly people are often targeted with solicitations in terms of telephone solicitation. When you're asking for private information, such as your Social Security number, that can be very problematic in this process. And those are things, you know, sometimes oftentimes legislation have unintended consequences that people have not thought of or considered when proposing a piece of legislation. And because it was such a short turnaround from the legislation going into effect, the time for educating people to get them informed before the, because early voting starts February 14th through the 25th, and to request a mail ballot has already started. So that kind of information that people have not had an adequate amount of time to be educated about the new legislation. And so that is one of the quite unfortunate aspects of this piece of legislation. And with the idea that it's a major election year, that you got the March 1st primary, which is, you know, like, less than a month, I mean, less about 6 weeks away.
Right. Early voting in person begins on Valentine's Day, Monday, February 14th, and it'll go through Friday, February 25th. So it's a short early voting period. What other deadlines do people need to be aware of, Grace?
The last day to register to vote is January 31st. So either update your registration using that new update tool at votetexas.gov or fill out a paper application if you're a new voter or you just feel like filling out a paper application because it's easier, and get that turned in by January 31st.
With the delays in mail that we're having, people need to be thinking about that, calculating that I shouldn't wait for the deadline. I should try to be proactive, Grace?
For the
for anything.
Well, for everything, you should do everything as early as you can. We're letting people know, fill out that application to vote by mail if you qualify and turn it in as early as possible. If there is a problem, you can get it fixed before the election. So that is fantastic.
If someone thinks they're being voter suppressed, do they contact you?
They can contact us at lwvtexas.org or contact the electionprotection.org.
All right. Grace Shemaine, president of the League of Women Voters of Texas, Annie Benefield, president of the League of Women Voters of Houston, thank you both so much. We do appreciate your great information. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by Jackie Velez. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.